Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, December 10th. I'm Ray Graff. The coin and stamp experts are back for another hour of calls from all of you collectors out there. Bob Scott and David Tripp join us every so often to talk about stamps and coins. So if you're enthusiastic on that subject, get your call in early. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551 or email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Stamps and coins and you coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We welcome back our coin and stamp experts today. David Tripp is former director of Sotheby's Coin, Tapestry, and Musical Instrument Departments. He's author of Illegal Tender, Gold Greed, and The Mystery of the Lost 1933 Double Eagle, as well as a fine art consultant and a cartoonist. The new card is very nice. Bob Scott was a curator to a private collection, senior technical specialist at Christie's, and head of the stamp departments at both Sotheby's and Bonhams. He's currently a private consultant whose clients include Sotheby's, for whom he cataloged the world's most valuable stamp. Our number here, if you have a stamp or coin collecting question, is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Or you can email us as we roll along, voxpop@wamc.org. David Tripp, I understand your commute was a little long yesterday.
Yes, I heard all of Vox Pop.
Lucky you.
While sitting in one spot on the New York Thruway, didn't move an inch during the whole period. So I heard the show in toto, and I've learned lots about my car.
So you were listening between swearing at the traffic?
Yes, it was fortunate. I almost called into the show to ask various and sundry questions, but I thought you'd hit the dump button too many times.
Well, we were pretty good. We probably could have used livening up at that point. Well, I'm glad you made it, and I'm sorry it took so long to get here. Bob Scott, how are things with you?
Exceedingly well. I didn't have to drive on the thruway yesterday.
Wow. So do we know what happened? What's going
on? Yeah, a semi went over, and there were the remains of what looked to be a little Japanese car on the median that looked like somebody had to be cut out of. It looked very, very unpleasant.
That's not good at all.
No.
Well, there's some big news going on. You know, they stopped making the pennies not too long ago. And you say that there's going to be a big sale with the final ones made tomorrow.
Tomorrow in New York City. Be
wow.
there. And if you've got a few extra dollars you want to part with, go for it. They had the official November 12th was the official ceremony. The treasurer of the United States was there, and they struck 232.
Why 232?
That one to represent each year the penny was made in the United States, going back to 1793.
Okay.
And they've all been given a little mark, an omega, on one side to indicate they're like alpha to omega, so the last issue.
Right.
And there is the you can buy a set of three. Every lot comes in three, so it can be 232 lots.
Okay.
And you get a pea mint from Philadelphia, you get one from Denver, and you get one struck in gold.
A penny struck in gold.
First time they've
solid
ever done
gold.
It. Solid gold, 99.99.
And what's that? How much is that in gold? What does it weigh?
It weighs
a tenth of an
ounce. Not even a tenth of an ounce. No.
20th, 15th.
It's about $400 worth of gold,
okay.
Give or take.
All right.
So about a tenth of an ounce,
fair
a little
enough.
Less.
Yeah.
The current bidding on the first 231 lots ranges for about $15,000 to $20,000 per lot.
Wow.
For these pennies.
Right.
The last lot, which also includes the dies which have been canceled from which the coins were struck.
Right.
The current bid, I just checked online before we went on air, current bid is $290,000.
So this will probably go higher tomorrow.
That would be my expectation. However.
It's not going down.
It's not going down. However, the question is it really the last? The Mint is saying it's the last circulating coin, but it never circulated. It's been struck with the Omega mark on it, so it's actually a commemorative. So it's not really – the one I would have wanted was the last one that popped out before they made the last 232.
Wow.
But then this one, the Treasury Secretary, not the Treasury, the Treasurer held it up for the photo op, and held it right between his thumb and forefinger. So the last penny has a great thumbprint right across the middle of it, which lots of people in the coin trade are pointing out and laughing because, of course, condition, as we've discussed on the show endlessly, is everything.
But in this case, this is probably value
added. That's probably good, and they've got to probably have to fingerprint the treasurer to make sure it's his. But the thing to remember also is that they're not stopping making sense, even though they said they're making sense.
Wow.
Because when you buy your proof set next year from the Mint, there will be a 2026 S Mint, which is where they strike them, pennies.
So this is all a sham.
Yeah, basically, yes.
I don't know about you, Ray, but he's not making any sense to me.
All right.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The gold one, the gold penny,
yeah.
Is it legal tender?
It's got 1 cent on it, doesn't have anything else, so it's worth a penny. Yeah.
You could spend it.
Yeah, you could spend a penny, which is, good old English.
Okay, all right. Well, I think we'll move on then.
Yeah, but one thing to remember, and this is just apropos because I'm sure we'll get cents questions later. Please remember that this government made since 1859, when the first Indian head cents were made, there had been $0.75 trillion.
That's a lot.
Made.
That's a lot.
Since 1909, $0.5 trillion. Of which there are at least 300 to 400 billion still in circulation. So when you go in, I bought a hamburger on the Garden State yesterday.
Yeah. How was it?
Poor.
Really? Okay.
And when I got my change, I should have gotten $4.53 back. They gave me $4.50. So be careful because some retailers are rounding up in their favor. So be sharp. I know it's only pennies, but pennies are money too. And that ends my polemic for the day.
All right, fair enough. Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing how much it's worth tomorrow and how much it goes for. That's very cool.
I will text you first thing in the morning.
Now, Bob, you had mentioned to me that one of the big inventors, and we use that term loosely, of the stamp, also created the very first Christmas card in 1843. Do tell.
He did, 2.5 years later. The man who was actually credited with inventing the postage stamp is a guy called Rowland Hill. But they had a competition to decide what form the new postage was going to take, and it was won by four people, one of whom was his assistant, a guy called Henry Cole.
Huh.
And Henry Cole took this idea and said, well, how do we get, because the literacy rate was getting better, so people were starting to write. So he thought, well, what can we do here if we can get people to actually use stamps and what have you? And he was a very big, he loved Christmas.
Yeah.
So he commissioned an artist to make the very first commercially available Christmas card, and it was an enormous hit right from the get-go.
Well, it's a pretty funny card, I got to be honest
with
you. Good. It wouldn't fly today.
No, it wouldn't. Unfortunately, there's a little bit too much wine being fed to too many underage children.
I mean, not just underage. We're talking toddlers drinking wine.
Babes in arms. Yes, exactly. They're not actually old enough to hold their own glass, but one mother is carefully pouring it down.
Ah, mother of the year. Yes.
And Henry Cole actually went on, for those that have a passing knowledge of London, Henry Cole actually also founded the Victoria and Albert Museum.
Huh.
So he
was then called the South Kensington Museum.
He was quite the man. And it's amazing it hadn't caught on. The first almost Christmas card dates back to 1611.
1611.
You remember that celebration, don't you? Yeah.
Nice little written, a poem written within a rose wishing the king a very happy birthday.
Nice.
But the question is, greetings cards, first Valentine. Not the 1800s. First Valentines exist from the 1400s.
But there were no stamps then.
There were no stamps.
So why are you interested?
The whole of the greeting card thing? Because I'm what's known as a postal historian.
Are you really?
You do not need a stamp to move a piece of mail. We managed to do that for many years before the stamp existed.
Then they're not collectibles.
Oh, they're entirely collectible.
Well, yes, but not the first Valentine.
The earliest greeting of all is actually New Year's greetings that used to be sent by the ancient Chinese about 200 BC. So Christmas cards are so modern.
All right. So,
Han Dynasty. Yeah.
I think that we're going to have to agree here to just ramp down the excitement level just a little bit. It's getting
You're getting a little bit dozy over there.
It's really, my heart is beating so hard. Let's take a break. I'll get the defibrillator. 800-348-2551. Stamps and coins today. David Tripp and Bob Scott here to answer your calls, and we'll get to those calls in a moment. All right, we jump-started my cardiac function, and we're back to do another exciting episode of Stamps and Coins with Bob Scott and David Tripp. The number here is 800-348-2551, and let's see. We'll begin in Westfield, Massachusetts. It's Andrew's turn. Andrew, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Andrew, and
Hi, Andrew.
I believe I have an experimental quarter. I think it's experimental because it has a copper. It doesn't have a copper thing in the middle of it.
It doesn't have a copper.
In the reading. It's a 1999 Connecticut Philadelphia quarter.
Okay, so it's one of the state's quarters. Now, what makes it special in your mind?
It doesn't have the copper band in the where the reading is.
Oh, so you can't see the fact that it's slat, that it is what we would call a clad piece. So the inner core is not visible. They are examples of that that were made in silver.
Oh. But
those would have been made as proofs.
So you think it could be a silver proof?
It could be a silver proof, and those the market on those is about $20 a piece. Wow. Well, no, it'd be higher now because the price of silver is higher.
Interesting.
This weighs at 6 grams, and it's from the Philadelphia Mint.
Well, if it's from the Philadelphia Mint, then it's not a proof. So it's P Mint, and it doesn't have the core. It might simply be. I tell you what. Can you? Andrew, take some pictures of the edge of it, and we'll give you our email address.
Go ahead.
And it's coinandstampguys@burk.com. And if you send me photographs of it, I'll have a better idea, and I can tell you what it should be.
Do you think he's onto something there?
I think if he found it, it could be an off-metal strike, which has a little extra value.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's not going to put him through college.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Stamps and coins today with David Tripp and Bob Scott. And let's go to Susan in Pittsfield. Susan, you're on.
Hello,
Hi.
Susan.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Yes.
Great. So my stepmother was going through some of my father's things and came across a bag with miscellaneous stamps and the centerpiece of it being a collector's book that he was apparently given when he was 10 for Christmas in 1934. It has some seals of different countries. It has miscellaneous stamps in it, some canceled, some not. We don't know what all of this might be worth, what to do with it, or if you have any thoughts about it.
Hmm. Very, very difficult without seeing it. Do you know who? I mean, 1934. We're going back a long way. I think that's when my father was born. Is there anything to let you know who gave the album, where it came from?
I believe it was a Christmas gift to him because it's written in the beginning of it. It's written in pencil, you know, at age 10, Christmas, 1934.
Got it. I see. So the album was probably a gift, and then the stamps were put afterwards. Okay, just briefly, is there any writing on the front of the album? As in, does it tell you who made the album? So it could be White Ace.
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
It was like a color. It looks like a color cover.
Yeah.
Like a collecting, you know.
Right. Exactly. So it's like just a ring binder, basically, but a sort of slightly more simple version of a ring binder.
Not quite a binder, but yes, definitely like an album.
Okay, well, album is the absolute correct term for it, and that's what it is. Look, you can follow, if you follow the show, pick up the email address, and you're going to have to send me some pictures if you want to know. But 1934 is an interesting cutoff year because you're getting to the point where you just reach the point that if you go to the post office, nothing that you buy is going to be, unless it's an error, is going to be of significant value. The last great stamps that were issued, which is good, were the 1930 Zeppelin stamps, which a beautiful set of which is worth $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 worth of. And of course, if somebody's going to give an album, they might give the good stamps with it. So worth taking some pictures and sending them along.
All right, thanks a lot. Every time you say those Zeppelin stamps, I get so upset because I had them. I had them, and somehow
they floated away.
They disappeared.
When you retire, we will find you a set.
Rats. Yeah, I'll put it with my Roman coin out in the backyard. Let's go to...
How's that coming?
Oh, God. I'll tell you that later. Joan in Schenectady, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi,
it's so great to hear all of your voices. Especially that beautiful English accent. I
take it that's not mine.
I
think she's talking about you, right?
Ah, okay. Go ahead, Joan.
Raymond. Hi, I knew you were going to begin the hour with pennies. I wanted to, I think I may have actually gotten several pennies from Ralph Gardner, who had a comment on one of his weekend commentaries about 1941 pennies that he had finally given back to the world.
43 pennies?
Send around. Now, I don't think I have anything of value other than I love pennies. I guess I would call me the penny auntie to my nieces and nephews.
So you're the reason there are none of them in circulation.
I want to know how tightly should I hold to my various pennies.
Well,
The future.
Yeah, for the future. As we were saying, there were many, 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 many made, and in all candor, first of all, for those people who don't know, it is illegal to melt pennies.
Really?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you cannot get the metal weight out of them. So from that point of view, it has to be solely numismatic. They will slowly disappear from circulation. Retailers seem to want to get them out of circulation as quickly as possible. It really depends, you know, in all candor. I mean, I've had inquiries from people who've literally had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of just 1943 pennies. We've even had calls on the air with them in motor oil to keep them from getting nasty. I think what I would do is get a copy of a collector's book like the Red Book that we've discussed on air and see which ones are a little bit better and keep the ones that anything basically from 1959 earlier, the Wheaties are always going to be of some more premium value.
Right.
The more recent things, I mean, people are making the most recent 1925 S pennies because they're the last year. And these are selling, they're 600,000 made. They're selling on eBay now for between $200 and $500
a piece.
Wow,
that's crazy talk.
Because the point is that the promoters are out there. So don't be taken in by that. Don't think they're going to go wildly through the roof. But figure out the ones that are better. You've got so many. Try and put a date set together.
All right, Joan. Thanks a lot for the call. By the way, we didn't discuss this at the beginning of the show. We talked in a previous program about this 1804 silver dollar.
Yes.
And there's a follow-up on that.
There's a follow-up. Well, just because you were not here, you were playing hooky the last time we discussed this.
Oh, I must have been on vacation. Must have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, there we go. About a year and a half ago, very quickly, a collection came to a very fine auction house in New York, Sachs Bowers, which has been in business, one of the oldest firms in the country. And in the group was an 1804 dollar. And for those of you who don't know, the 1804 dollar for many years was considered to be the king of American coins, set world records regularly, about 15 known. No 1804 dollar was struck in 1804. The earliest ones were struck in 1834. And then since I've been in the business, which is over 50 years, and since I was a kid,
right,
there were always 15 known. Well, 6 months ago, the number went from 15 to 16. A new one was discovered.
Right.
In the finest note example, one of the restrikes in perfect condition.
How do you know it's real?
Fabulous. Well, everybody's done all the tests on it, all the finest people. It took them a year and a half to go through the authentication process. They announced it, and it was sold last night.
Yeah, how much?
$6 million.
$6 million.
Yep. Which, candidly, I and a lot of other people in the trade thought was cheap.
No kidding.
It's a beautiful, it's the prettiest of them. And a lot of people thought, with a lot of this strange Bitcoin money floating around out there and collector interest, a lot of people were thinking it was going to hit $10 million.
Wow.
But it's the right price. It's a great coin. And it was something that somebody had had since probably around the 1940s. Nobody knows where the guy got it. But the guy that owned this one also owned a 1933 Double Eagle.
Ah. And which, that's really the big one now.
That's the one that I cataloged last one for just shy of $19 million, which is the world record for any coin.
Yep.
But the interesting thing about it is we found all the information relating to the purchase of this particular 1933, which the Secret Service seized. But he also bought at the same time a 1931 and a 32 Double Eagle, which were in this collection that was just sold.
Cool.
And they brought an aggregate of about $500,000. He'd paid $125 each in about 1940.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yep.
That's a nice.
Well, he's dead. He's not around to enjoy it.
$6 million for a coin. Do you remember when that used to get you a couple of bionic legs and a bionic
arm? Yeah, that was $6 million. Very good call there. All right,
thanks, Steve Austin.
Let's go to Boston Lake. Heidi, you're on.
Hi,
Heidi.
I have a question, and you may have. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I have a question, and you may have already answered it because I was listening to one of your other conversations. My father-in-law recently passed away, and he has been collecting stamps since he was a boy in 1945. And I didn't know if I should. He has them very pristine, put in an album.
Yes.
I didn't know if I should have it appraised or if I should just hang on to it for good measure.
Are they United States stamps?
He has some United States. He also has been collecting in Spain. He grew up in Spain. So,
oh, I see.
Are they mostly
multicolored?
Some of them are multicolored, yes.
Okay. If there's anything...
He does have some black and white. But...
Right, well, the thing is, if you get multiple colors, more than three, then they automatically fall into the post-war 1940s, 50s, 60s era, which, let's be honest, they're not of great value. It is not something I would necessarily seek out a professional appraisal for, because I do not think, and this is, I'm being fairly general, unless you can find evidence of a lot of money being, or some real money being spent on stamps rather than $20, $30, $40, it's not worth it. But if you have other material that needs to be appraised, any generalist should be able to look at it. But you shouldn't pay to have them appraised, because you can end up being paying by the hour, and you've covered the value in the first 20 minutes.
Heidi.
Okay.
But if you've got something you're curious about, just note down the email address, and I will tell you what it is for nothing.
That's a good deal.
Yes.
What's the email address once again, fellas?
It's coinandstampguys, all spelled out, at Berk, B-E-R-K, .com.
Heidi, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 to Pittsfield we go. Joanne, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
I have an Abraham Lincoln coin I found. How do you tell the value?
Well,
of the coin?
First of all, it needs to have the date is imperative. The date and the mint mark. And of course, as we were saying, all Abraham Lincoln pennies... there are there's a half trillion of them made.
Was he ever on any other denomination?
He was not on any other coin.
But you've got medals, apart from, haven't you?
Well, he's on the President's Series coins and things like that, which are $1 pieces.
Yeah, this says $1 on it.
It says $1.
It's a dollar coin. Okay, well, then that is... is going to be worth about a dollar, a little bit over. It's a series that the United States Mint has been issuing, one for every president. They've done them for the presidential spouses as well. And the series is still in production because you cannot bear the image of a live individual or president. So they're waiting for various people to go to the other side before they have coins made in their honor.
How sweet. And are we sure this is a modern coin?
We're not.
It's not a...
Do we have a date on it?
It just says, in God we trust, 16th president, 1861 to 66.
Well, that sounds like... It sounds like your basic...
a dollar.
A dollar.
Okay.
Yeah. These were made in 2010, and the retail price is currently $3.75, but it's a spendable coin.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Let's grab one more call before the next break, and then we'll check the email bag and everything else. Let's go to Nate in North Adams. Nate, you're on.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys. How
Hi,
are
Nate.
You?
Fine.
Ray, thank you for the good jazz music.
Hey, you
guys,
got it.
I appreciate you guys helping out everybody else.
Thanks.
So I got a Busch Gardens collector coin, and it's a Lower Land Gorilla. It's number 338 out of 1,000. Have you guys even heard of anything about this one?
Not specifically, but it sounds like one of the modern commemorative metal series that are privately made.
It says it's a 1 ounce troy ounce.
One troy ounce, and it's pure ounce. And as we were saying earlier in the show, well, maybe before the show started, silver yesterday has hit an all time record high around $62. Were you to take?
Oh,
that?
You're going to laugh how much you're going to be happy what I paid for it. Then, 'cause I only paid $40 for it.
Well, there you go. But unfortunately, the problem is that there is. A little bit of a backlog, and a lot of dealers are buying things to melt them. And there's there's a backlog at the smelting. So
you're kidding me?
No.
Can't you do your own?
If you've got a nice hot pot, yeah, sure, why not?
Modest smelting operation.
I don't want to.
Don't do that, Nate. No.
I don't want to melt. I don't want to melt mine. My daughter's been doing great in school. I told her when she graduates her high school, I'm giving this to her.
Oh,
well, then
nice.
Let's hope gold and silver keeps going up. People say it's undervalued anyway, but dealers are paying less than scrap value. Were you to take it to a dealer,
so hang on to it.
So hang on to it. Be my idea. Yeah.
All right, Nate. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is our number. Stamps and coins today with Bob Scott and David Tripp. We'll be back and check the email bag. Zappa for you there. Must be a camel on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number here, and we talk coins and stamps with our buddy David Tripp, who drove a 9-hour drive.
Anything for you at WAMC.
You know,
that.
We'll add a little to your paycheck.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, boy. 100 times nothing
I suggest you double it.
Yes. Yeah, we'll double it. That's right. And Bob Scott is here as well. Not as long of a commute. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Peter writes in, will the value of pennies be going up for all of the pennies over the next, say, 10 years now that minting has stopped? Is it worth it to save all the pennies now?
Spend them. As I said to everybody else, look at the dates, get a copy of a book at the library, go through it, see if there's anything a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no. I mean, they're spendable. There are plenty to move around. And for the most part, no, they're not going to go up. If they're copper, and price of copper has been going up again, and maybe someday they will loosen the restrictions on whether you're allowed to melt one. But you've got to remember that copper, in the open markets is basically traded in pounds and tons. So you're going to have to melt an awful lot of pennies to make anything out of it.
And you're not allowed to.
And you're not allowed to.
Well, now that they've stopped minting them, can we do that?
Well, I'll talk to my friends at the Mint and get a ruling for the next show. How about that?
Exactly. But the thing is, there are so many commercial businesses that still desperately need pennies. Mm. So forget about finding the one coin that's worth an awful lot. There are already programs out there where if you hand in rolled pennies, they will give you double the amount in credit.
Okay. But what if you have one of those super rare ones?
Well, you sell it and you make an awful lot of money, which would be lovely. But in a practical term, is if you can find rolls of quarters, you can double your double your money.
My hope is, much like that young man, Andrew, as we're just saying, who called earlier the young man, start going through them. You'll find something. It might not do anything for the penny population, but we might get one or two more coin collectors.
All right. This is from Mike in Saratoga. I know the U.S. government mint is making the comic book art silver coins, specifically the 2.5-ounce Superman coins. It says there will only be 25,000 of those minted. Do you think, because of the limited mintage, will they have any value above the silver content?
Well, yes. I hate to say it. I'm not a big fan, I'll be perfectly honest.
Of what? Superman?
I'm a great fan of Superman, but not of all these modern commemorative coins in general.
Right.
However, there has proved to be, especially for these special issues that the Mint's making, there has been a good aftermarket in them. The secondary markets have been strong, and people, when we were kids, you could get pennies out of your, going back to pennies, but quarters, everything else, you could go through your change to get it. There's not as much there. So people are now buying some of the more modern issues. You know, it's going to be Superman now. They're going to go to Batman shortly.
And they're legal tender.
Theoretically, they're legal tender, but they're really being
collector's
sold.
Pieces.
They're being sold
but
as collector's
items.
But
if I had to get on the subway or something, I could use it, my Superman.
Anybody will take it, but I don't think they'll give you change.
That's probably true. Well, let's face it, in terms of Superman, they've got to be better than the movie.
Wow, which one? Which
the most, the most recent one.
I'm sorry, I prefer George Reeves.
The old show.
You betcha.
Okay, that's...
Didn't work out too well for George.
Well, turned out he couldn't fly. Denise writes, many of us have been collecting pre-1982 pennies for the metal content. What can, should be done with them? Use, sell? Denise wants to know.
Oh, well, I think we've just covered it.
Answer it again, because Denise wants to know.
Denise wants to know. Legally, you cannot melt them. And if you have tons and tons of them and you can take them to a dealer and they will buy them, be my guess.
Okay. And you can't even put them on a railroad track, right?
You can, but you've got to get out of the way of the train first.
Oh, that's
you
true.
You also have the Coinstar machines that are located in all the supermarkets.
But then you're getting a discount.
Well, you're getting a discount, but you are filtering them in a strange way. You're filtering them back into circulation.
Well,
can you do with a penny nowadays? What can you buy?
To be honest, I'd rather have, a thousand pennies less commission and put the actual cash in my back pocket.
Yeah.
Right,
and it's going to happen with nickels next, because nickels cost even more to produce than pennies. We are rapidly going to a cashless society. Sweden was already there, and I think in the foreseeable future we're going to see it here.
It's another sign of the apocalypse. All right,
one of the many.
Okay, this is trouble. Before I get too scared, and these guys got me so worked up earlier,
Ray's holding his chest again.
So let's just go to the phones. Diana, can you help me out here in Northampton? You're on.
Yes.
Hi, Diana.
Hello.
Hello. I'm curious. I'm happy that I tuned in, and it's this Tuesday is the coins. Thursday. Wednesday. I don't know where I'm at.
We're at Wednesday now. Otherwise, anyway. I don't know where I am. If it's Wednesday, it must be Vox Pop.
Good. I'm glad I'm not alone in that. My question is simple. I wanted to give some of these last coins to my grandkids and kids. And I was wondering, where could I buy a roll of new pennies, all, shiny and everything, that I could, put in the stocking.
I would try the bank to begin with. They made this year between Denver and Philadelphia, I think something in the neighborhood of just over 1.5 billion examples.
Oh.
So the banks do have them. The Federal Reserve is shipping them out as usual. They haven't run out yet, so that would be my suggestion.
But I imagine they will.
Eventually, yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Well, no, because commercial operations need them, right. They'll be buying them.
I would think the bank should have them.
All right. Well, thank you, Diana. Appreciate the call. It's 800-348-2551. Let's go to Walter in Rhinebeck Village. Walter, you're on.
Hey, Walter.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, thank you. You know, in the famous American series that was printed, Poets, Writers, Artists.
Right.
Was there a stamp for Abe Relis, or better known as Kid Twist?
No.
Kid Twist.
This is the windup.
Yeah, it is.
Now, the kid,
okay.
Kid Twist, found himself falling out a window at the Half Moon Hotel in Coney Island.
Okay. I don't think he's on the stamp, Walter. You know, it's been a long time since you've called in the show, Walter. And I got to say.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
It's been great to have you back. And call in again soon.
Just to be clear,
there's no Kid Twist.
No, sadly, okay. There's not. But it's only been, 84 years. So one might turn up at some point.
I've been tuning up my act, Ray.
All right, buddy.
Tuning up my act.
All right, we're going to need you back here on this program, so call again, my friend. 800-34, it's been a long time. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Vermont. Jeff, I don't know where Pittsburgh, Vermont is. I know there's a Pittsburgh, New Hampshire way up there, but where's Pittsburgh, Vermont?
Pittsburgh, Vermont is just north of Rutland on Route 7.
Well, you're on the air, man. Go ahead.
Okay, so my dad served with John Glenn on the Midway during the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a stamp collector and coin collector, and he sent the first plate block of stamps of John Glenn going around the world in the spacecraft.
Mercury.
And he had it, and it signed by John Glenn, Alan Shepard, Virgil Grissom, and
all the
Collins. I forget his first.
The Mercury 7.
Yeah. Now, yes, and I was told that because it might be signed by Otto Penn, it wasn't worth anything.
Oh,
my grandmother, let me just add to this before we finish. My grandmother led a peace mission into Russia in the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And my father asked her to buy a Russian plate block of Yuri Gagarin's first circumnavigation
right.
of the world in space.
Yeah.
And it was signed by Yuri Gagarin and another individual, and I have those signed. Is there any value to these, really, or is it just a novelty item?
The Gagarin is better than the John Glenn. First of all, Gagarin was the first man in space.
Yeah.
Secondly, Gagarin made contact with planet Earth a little too quickly, less than 10 years later. He did sign an awful lot of the reason why he died was he was a real hotshot pilot and he was just flying too low and hit the trees.
Really? Was he related to Kid Twist at all?
No, he wasn't. But he was a fascinating guy. His signature is probably worth, I don't know the exact numbers because I'm not really an autograph guy, but I would think 5 or 10 times a John Glenn, because John Glenn lived an awful lot of years and signed an awful lot of material.
But still, if he has all the Mercury 7, I mean, that has to be worth something.
If it's auto pen, it's auto pen. They're real, they're real. And again, especially because you're going to have Gus Grissom, who was dead on the Apollo 1 launch pad fire.
Yep.
The rest of them all lived fairly decent long lives. So get it authenticated, get a look. But the Russian, Gagarin is the one to have. I'd like to have a Gagarin signature. Yeah.
All right. Jeff, is that good for you? Or you want to follow up?
No, that'll have to work. I'll let you guys know how I make out.
Oh, yeah. That'd be terrific. Thank you.
They'll be back in 26 here several times. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Greg in Worcester, New York. Greg, hey, before you start, how's the weather down there on the I-88 corridor right now?
The weather is what it is. It's snowy, slushy. Traffic is very slow, and I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet. Go ahead.
I've got a number of pre-World War II German stamps. This is when you know, the Weimar Republic, they are overstamped with a number, sometimes 2 million, 5 million, 10 million. Oh, are they worth anything?
Yes, that's...
Is there a value that can be placed on those?
In simple terms, I hate to say this, and you can probably glean something from my answer, I used to collect 1923 German inflationary postage, the infamous story where people used to carry their money around in wheelbarrows and they used to get bashed on the head and people would empty the money and steal the wheelbarrows. The stamps go up to 50 billion marks ago, and they were basically redundant from the moment they were overprinted.
Oh.
There is a very, very, very small collector. Actually, there's quite a large collector market, but there's quite a small return on the stamps. Mm. I had a collection, and this is going back 30 years. It's one of my first collections, had a face value of some 500 billion marks, and it was worth about $100.
Ah.
And my boss who bought 1840 penny blacks, the first stamp, had a collection with a face value of about $8. And it was worth 12 million.
Aha. So there
it's inversely proportionate. So there are particular individuals, but almost all the stamps, purely because they were redundant from the moment they were printed, were kept in enormous numbers because people don't throw out stamps. The only thing they throw out less is banknotes, even if they're redundant. So interesting curiosity, probably not an awful lot of value, but absolutely fascinating the amount of zeros they can get on a stamp.
All right, Greg, thanks a lot for the call, and stay out of the slush. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to lovely Schenectady. It's Kim. Kim, go ahead.
Hi. I know you guys are stamp and coin guys, but I have a question about a dollar bill that I have. It has the word Hawaii printed on the front and back. And doing my research, I saw that this was printed around World War II, so that if the Japanese took over and invaded the islands, or when they invaded the islands, that if they took over our currency, it would...
Oh, we lost you there, Kim. Sure.
Anyway, I will attempt. I will
brown seal
something. Yeah. The overprints. It's 1934 series, but they were made during the war. They are very collectible. $1, generally about $40 to $60 in mezzo condition, and then there are $20 overprints, and the values go up.
And they sort of increase exponentially, as they go up.
Yeah. So these are collectible.
They are very much so. Yeah.
Kim, did we lose you completely, or are you back? Kim is gone. I hope you heard the answer, Kim.
Okay. Yes, they're good. And actually, you should be able to look them up online and probably get an idea. But it's all going to be quality.
All right. Thank you very much. And let's see now. The phones are not behaving entirely well. Let's go to North Carolina and see what happens. Roberta in Folly Beach, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I just have what is kind of a quick question. My mother, who was alive from, 1917 until 1985, collected pennies, and I have these two big jars of pennies. I've never gone through them, and now with the penny not being minted, and also maybe there's something in there that's of value, I'm trying to figure out how to proceed. Should I go through each individual one?
Well, that's
how would I know if there's something of value? Should I just take them to a place?
You know, the best way to do it is to do it yourself.
Yeah.
My suggestion is get a book called the Red Book Guidebook to United States Coins. You can find it at the library, and then just go through
the Red Book.
The Red Book. Yes.
Yep.
As everybody knows it.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Yeah, it's a Red Book. It's a little binder Red Book, and I'll tell you what.
It's a guidebook to United States coins, R.S. Yeoman. There are thousands of them out there.
And it's actually fun doing this research.
Yes.
I mean, it takes some time, but you can get into it. Maybe have a glass of wine, hang out.
The key dates, look for 1909, 1914, 1922, 1931. There are special dates in there that will have premium value.
All right.
Cool.
Okay, so there'll be slots or there'll be numbers with...
Right, the date on the side, and it'll have a little D under it or an S. Yes, exactly.
Careful, you might go down the rabbit hole and really get into it.
And end up looking like Bob, me, and Ray.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks for the call. Let's see, we'll go to Great Barrington. Olivia, hello, Olivia.
Hello, hi, thank you. My uncle recently passed, and he has so many foreign currencies and stamps. A lot of them, some of them have original eBay receipts from when eBay started, but when I go online, almost every single one of them has a value of 50 cents and $2,000. So how do I proceed?
Okay.
Bob?
You've got to... I live just above Great Barrington. I may just look at these for you and let you know what it is.
Wow, what a guy, yeah.
It's impossible. I mean, you can take photographs and you can email them or what have you, but it's all, this is something that you've got to view. If it's eBay from the earliest days, you're going back, what? 30 some odd years,
Okay.
No, it's probably about 30 years. And the truth is, things bought on eBay in the mid-90s in, oh, I'm going to say this, I hate it.
Oh, boy.
If you spent $100 on more, slightly more modern material in 1995, I'm just going to give you, I'm going to have to figure out the number you're going to divide it by.
Okay, you know what?
Well, but I think the answer with anything on eBay, the 99 cent and the $2,000, both of them are probably right at some point of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's just going to depend on the specifics.
Absolutely. Right, so, and it's not a hard and fast rule. It's a trend. Right, that does not mean...
But there are lots of flim-flam artists on
exactly, but
eBay,
if you,
and so you do have to walk carefully.
If you have China, if you have some better Far Eastern stamps, they're... There's no limit. There's definitely an upside to it, too.
All right. So, Olivia, this is a very good time in the program. We're just about at the end for these guys to give their email again. And to be clear, they're not drumming up business here. This is not what they do.
No, we are not dealers.
They might help you out for nothing, though.
Yeah. We will do it for nothing. We are advisors only. We do not buy. We do not sell. We just give up what we have.
Right.
And the address is Coin and Stamp Guys, all spelled out, at Berk, B-E-R-K, .com.
All right. Olivia, thanks a lot. And I think there's an email address right on our webpage for today's show, Vox Pop. And you can go to WAMC.org and you can hear the show again if you wish. In about, we'll have it online, maybe in about half hour. Last question from Mary in Accord. What on earth is one to do with old stamp books?
Open them up and have a look.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most... The great thing is all these things is it sparks your curiosity. Open it up, first of all, used, unused. You can tell, are they old? Are they modern? Are they... What would you do if you put your Whitman books, books and books of pennies, what do you do? Start at the first one, find something that's attractive. And most collectors, when they put books together, if they've got something interesting, they let you know whether it's underlined or it's got a big star by it.
All right, fellas, we are done here. David Triple, I hope it doesn't take you 12, 15 hours to get down the thruway. Bob Scott, it's a shorter commute. You'll be all right.
I think I will. And I get to, well, we make it.
All right, fair enough.
And we'll be back one way or the other.
And remember, you know, there's some bad weather out there, so if you are driving, take it easy. Support comes from Berkshire Taconic Community Foundations, awarding 4,000 grants and scholarships each year through more than 600 funds. Local giving can make an impact. More at berkshiretaconic.org. At Nana and Oma's, Gilderland, proudly featuring more than 30 local vendors in the family-owned and operated culinary boutique, cooking and baking items for Christmas and holiday entertaining needs, nanaandomas.com. Thanks again to David Tripp and Bob Scott for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. Thank you, Andrea. Tomorrow we'll head outdoors, so to speak. Not really. We'll be in Studio A. But Jeremy Hurst and Annie Stupik of the New York State DEC will be here to answer your wildlife questions. We'll see you at 2:00.